The gospel reading is from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Let us listen to the word of God. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." This is the word of the Lord.
Scripture reading for today comes to us from Acts chapter 8, beginning with the 26th verse. Let us listen to the word of God. "Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road.' So he got up and went. Now, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Cadence, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasurer. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over to his chariot and join it.' So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' He replied, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb, silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch asked Philip, about whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? And then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Today is Confirmation Sunday, and it's a day we get to celebrate our confirmands as they join our church, and in so doing, they'll be following Christ's call for their lives. Now, this is not just something that will shape their lives, but they will be helping our church grow and live into its calling. This year, my daughter Hannah is one of the confirmation students, and not every teenager would give their dad permission to talk about them, but luckily she did. Over the years, Hannah has taught me a lot of things. In kindergarten, she was insistent on eating lunch at the peanut-free table. "But you're not allergic to nuts, kid." She wanted to sit with her friend, and her friend was allergic to nuts. So every day, she had her peanut-free lunch so they could sit together. This is just the way she's always been. Hannah has taught me to be radically inclusive no matter who people are. I thought I knew this before, but my daughter has pushed me further. When she went to middle school, she wanted to wear a t-shirt that said "human" in rainbow pride colors. Again, she insisted on supporting her friends who were gay, queer, or trans. And she's taught me how to be an ally and supportive like she is. I'd imagine that I've taught her a few things along the way as well. This is what family's supposed to do, right? It's supposed to help us stretch and grow and become better people. And the same is true with our church family. As young people are baptized and confirmed into our church, we're supposed to learn and grow from each other. And as a family, they'll help us navigate our church today and into our future. Now, like many pastors, I've usually skipped preaching on the Ethiopian eunuch. A eunuch is someone who's asexual, it's complicated, and do we want to know what God has to say about this? Maybe we'd prefer to brush it aside because it might make someone upset, or it might make things complicated, or maybe it'll challenge our faith. Yet my daughter and our youth don't seem to have those same concerns. Today, as these young people join our church family, we must learn to teach, to grow, and support one another. And to do so, we're diving into the book of Acts, which is the early church's wild and crazy ride. In Acts 1:8, Jesus commissions and sends his apostles with the Holy Spirit. It says, "In Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth you will go." Of course, after facing growing opposition, persecution, even martyrdom in Jerusalem after Stephen's stoning, they flee, and the Holy Spirit guides them, sends them to Judea and Samaria. And today, in chapter 8, an angel sends the evangelist Philip to the ends of the earth. On the road to Gaza, along with Philip, we meet an Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch has been to Jerusalem to worship and is on his way home. And each of the five times Luke mentions him, he's identified as the eunuch. His sexual identity is more important than his nationality, Being made a eunuch was a forced requirement for one whose life is devoted to a queen's court. And we discover he has a strong affinity for Judaism. But it's somewhat problematic. Deuteronomic and Levitical law permitted eunuchs only marginal participation in the assembly of Israel. Yet the eunuch isn't reading Deuteronomy or Leviticus. He's reading Isaiah. I hadn't realized this until I studied this passage, but Isaiah is a hope-filled book specifically for an Ethiopian eunuch. In Isaiah 11:11, Isaiah announces that God will recover the remnant that is left of his people from Ethiopia, among other places. In Isaiah 56:4 through 5, eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths will be welcome in the house of God and will receive a better name than sons and daughters. At the Holy Spirit's urging, Philip and the eunuch's crazy and wild ride begins. The eunuch asks Philip, "About whom does the prophet say this?" According to biblical scholars, what he's really asking, is this a word from God for someone else, or is this God's word for me today? As a eunuch, he would know full well about humiliation and justice denied, and he was wondering if God was speaking to him and to his own experience of being an outcast in Israel. And this is when Philip, filled with the Holy Spirit, shares the message of Christ, which is a message that's relevant to the eunuch, to the early church, and for all of us today too. Isaiah's prophecy, which is what the eunuch read, it's from chapter 53. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the sheep led to the slaughter. He's humiliated and denied justice. Jesus is ostracized, lowly, and outcast. And the eunuch is just like Jesus. And Jesus is just like the eunuch. And just four verses after what the eunuch reads, Isaiah's prophecy moves from suffering to hope. Isaiah 53:11 says, "Out of his anguish he shall see light. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous." And essentially, Philip teaches the eunuch about Jesus' love and acceptance of all people, how Jesus' resurrection has brought light and life and resurrection to the ends of the earth today through them. And all who follow him in this stony road of suffering is transformed into the highway of exaltation. And the eunuch's so inspired by the good news of Jesus, who's the servant of God that he's just read about, that he wants to follow Jesus, be transformed, and to be baptized. Yet as a member of the Queen's cabinet, he's loyal to the wrong sovereign. He knows he lives in Ethiopia, cut off from the land of Israel. He's a eunuch and in violation of the purity code. And knowing that it might not work, he's willing to ask a big question. What is to prevent me from being baptized? And yet Philip only hears the voice of the Holy Spirit, which breaks down all barriers, and Philip baptizes him right then and there, and the Holy Spirit is upon them. The early church follows the Holy Spirit's lead on this wild and crazy ride, and Jesus extends grace to the ends of the earth, the outcasts, and the lowly, the Gentiles, and the eunuchs, to all the world. Now the problem is, the passages that we might want to skip over, like this one, end up becoming the most hope-filled and transformational passages. They're the ones that are filled with surprise, angst, trepidation. They're the ones we actually need to know and hear. For we discover that God loves and accepts all of us, no matter who we are. We discover that we each need each other to grow. Now, I was thinking about telling you about Nadia Boltz Weber's church, a Denver church that accepts and welcomes sinners and saints of all kinds. But instead, I want to tell you about our church. Several years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, our youth group leader asked the session if they could display the pride and trans flags in the youth room. Of course, since we live in a small rural town and our church hasn't officially taken any position on this topic, I knew this was a big deal and it could be divisive and controversial. As the moderator of our session, I wanted things to go smoothly at the meeting, so I prayed and researched and anticipated a long debate and discussion. I shared several articles and Bible studies about the topic. After it was presented at the meeting, I told the session that this was a big question. I anticipated that it might take a lot of discussion. We may want to have a church Bible study on this topic. We could always wait to make a decision, I said. A few practical questions were asked, and then one person on session who rarely spoke up, in fact, they'd never spoken up before besides sharing their main things, simply said, "Pastor, all they're asking is to put up a few flags in the youth room. We're not trying to solve the world's problems here. I think we just need to tell them they can." Couldn't believe it. We took a vote and it passed unanimously. All the barriers that I thought might come were not visible. For the Holy Spirit has the ability to make complex and challenging things simple. The Holy Spirit easily pushes barriers aside, opening up new and exciting possibilities. The Holy Spirit just worked and moved in a simple and surprising way. Just like my daughter and our youth who have helped me to grow, so has this church taught me to grow as well. Jesus commissioned the early church to follow the Holy Spirit on a wild and crazy ride to the ends of the earth. And God's word is as relevant to an Ethiopian eunuch as it is to us. The Holy Spirit is still at work today as young people are baptized and confirmed into our church. We follow a God who calls us to be radically inclusive. And the Holy Spirit will help us stretch and grow and navigate our way into a future that, like Isaiah says, is filled with hope. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
If you found this podcast inspirational and would like to support the First Love Ministry programs at First Presbyterian Church, please send any contributions to First Presbyterian Church at 870 West College, Jacksonville, Illinois. Our zip code is 62650. Our phone is 217-245-4189. You can contact our secretary there between the hours of 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Our email is office@firstpresjax.org. That's office@firstpresjax.org. Masks are now optional anywhere in the church. Our in-person church services start at 10 a.m. on Sunday. Access to our online church service starts at 9:55 a.m. You can listen to these live services on our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/FIRSTPRESJAX. You can join our Facebook group called First Presbyterians with a Purpose. We have a choir that meets from 7 to 8 p.m. every Thursday night, and we welcome all who are willing to sing. We look forward to hearing from you. either by email, mail, or phone. God bless, and may you have a peaceful and safe year.